Now this morning I would like to give you another form of meditation, one also, in which at the beginning it would be better to find a comfortable seat or chair, position of the body, in your home or in some quiet place, or any church with an open door, or your own chapel or center. And this meditation may be a contemplation of God. You see, in our prayer or communion work, we do not take the problem into it, nor do we take the person into it. Even if you were to say to me, I am violently ill, help me, thou would immediately say, yes, I will. I would not permit you or your illness to enter my meditation or treatment or contemplation or prayer or communion. The moment that I read your letter or heard your voice on the telephone or your personal request for help, I would probably close my eyes, go into meditation along this line. The first word that would come to thought would be the word God, since God is the central theme of the infinite way. God. 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 Oh, God is life. I'm not giving you this as a formula. I am now meditating because you have asked for help. And my next meditation would not be in the same words or the same form, but the theme would be the same, the contemplation of God. God. God is life. God is light. In him is no darkness, no sin, no disease, no fear, no lack, no limitation. God is love. God is love. God is the all-enveloping love of this universe. Even as I have loved you, even as I, God, love you. In my love for you, is your perfection. In my love for you is your security. God speaking, of course. God speaking. God's love for man assures man's security, man's peace, man's harmony. Not out in the world, of course. Out in the world, men are looking to each other for peace or war, looking to each other for supply. But here, in the silence of my contemplation, I know that God is the source. God is the source of my life. God's love for man is all-inclusive. God's love for his beloved child. God's love envelops man. God's life is the life of man, in which is no darkness. God's peace is the peace of all those who turn to God. All who lift their thought to God and to his Christ, the Son of God, the spiritual idea, all those receive the peace that passeth understanding. God's peace passeth understanding. God's peace is greater than knowledge. Beyond knowledge, God's peace, my peace, give I unto thee. God is the soul. God is the creator. God is the creator of all that is. God is the creator of all that is. God, then, is the creator of man's body. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the living God? Your body my body, his body, her body. This body is the body, is the temple of the living God. God is its creative principle. God maintains it. God sustains it. More than this, God feeds it. I am the bread of life. I have meat the world knows not of. I have water. If you ask of me, I can give you water. Water that spring up into life eternal. I am the wine. Fill this, these jugs to the brim. I am the wine, inspiration, spiritual wisdom. I am the Holy Ghost. I am that which enlightens, uplifts God. God is that which enlightens. God is that which uplifts. God it is that inspires us. God it is that illumines us. God's grace is my sufficiency. Oh, that's good. God's grace is my sufficiency. God's grace. Grace is a gift of God. The gift of God is my sufficiency. God's gift to his beloved Son is my sufficiency in all things. I just see a word here, Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. God is with us. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. God is in the midst of us. The Father within me. My Father, your Father. God is the life of being, the love of being, the soul, the spirit. God is the law unto all being. God is the activity of this universe. Just see how this round ball is sustained in space. It says in Scripture, he hangeth the earth on nothing. Just think, this earth is hung on nothing. Suspended in air, maintained and sustained by an invisible law. Nature is an invisible law producing our vegetable life, mineral life, animal life. An invisible law turns decayed trees into coal, iron, oil. An invisible law operates in nature to bring forth that which is necessary for our existence. An invisible law operating where? Everywhere. Within and without, above and below, as in heaven, so on earth. If then the law of God, the activity of God, functions, acts upon nature, breaks open seeds, causes them to take root, sends them up through the earth, sometimes through rocks, causes them to bud and to blossom. All this, the activity of God does all this. How much more will the activity of God govern my heart and liver and lungs, the functions and organs of my body? Can the organs of this body move of their own accord? The answer is no. Could my hand move up or down, left or right? No. Can eyes see and can ears hear as material organs or functions? No. No. There is a spirit in man, the breath of the Almighty giveth him life. There is a spirit in man, the activity of God in man, which functions his functions and his organs and his muscles. There is a spirit of God in man that governs and controls the activities of human experience, even as it governs and controls the activity of the sun, the moon, the stars, the tides, the growing plants, the birds flying from the south to the north and back to the south again. An activity of God enables the fish to find their feeding places, conceiving places. An activity of the spirit, of the soul, of God, keeps the birds on wing. An activity of the spirit of God acts upon a seed and brings forth a child, not merely a piece of matter, but an intelligence and a soul accompanying that body. All the potentialities of adulthood embodied in one tiny little form. Spirit of God does this. Spirit of God. Why then is there ever an error? Why then is there ever a discord in the birth and development of a child, or a plant, or an animal? For one reason. One reason alone. We have believed that man is a creator. We have believed that we are fathers and mothers, instead of knowing that we are instruments through which God acts to perpetuate himself. Not to perpetuate you or me, not to perpetuate your children or my children. Give up the idea that you have children. God operates as love in our consciousness to produce his own image and likeness. We call that your child or mine when it isn't. We call that your body or mine when it isn't. It's God's body, formed by God for his pleasure, made in his image and likeness, maintained and sustained by his law. There's no power in a heart, a liver, a lung, muscle. All power is in God, functioning as the law of body, functioning as the law of creation, functioning as the law maintaining and sustaining its creation. We pray to God to maintain our children. We haven't any. We don't need to pray to God to maintain and sustain his own children. That is a function of God, creating, maintaining, sustaining its own image and likeness. This isn't my body. This isn't your body. This isn't his body or her body. This isn't my mind or your my soul or your soul. This is the temple of the living God. This is God's life made visible on earth, governed by God, maintained and sustained by God, enthroned in God. Why are the discords? Why are the sins? Why are the diseases? Because we have allowed the belief to enter our thought that there's a selfhood apart from God. That we are responsible for ourselves or for our children, our friends, our neighbors, our relatives. We have forgotten the word God. God made all that was made. All that God made, is good. God made this temple called body. No one can endanger it. Nothing from without can enter, defile, or make a lie in the temple of the living God. That's why no one need ever fight for their church. No one need ever defend their church. It isn't your church, and it isn't your church teaching, it's God's. God maintains the temple of the living God, which is your church, or the church, or any church that is truly dedicated to the living God. Any church that needs human defense isn't worth saving. Whatever is of God, God will maintain and sustain. Whatever is of man will fall by its own nothingness. So it is with your body. Whatever is a mortal concept of your body will die. Whatever is the truth about your body will live forever. For your body is the temple of the living God. God is the only law, just as God is the only lawgiver. Therefore, all law is spiritual. The body is governed by spiritual law. Spiritual law doesn't overcome material law. Spiritual law reveals there is no material law. Please, students, will you remember that? Spiritual law does not nullify material law, does not overcome it or destroy it. Spiritual law reveals there is no material law. Don't fear it. Don't hate it. Don't fight it. Our victories are not won by might, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, by my spirit. You need not fight. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. This is the temple of God we're talking about. You have believed it was your body. This is the temple of God. You need not fight. You need not heal, cure, operate. The battle is not yours, but God's. Rightly understood, it isn't a battle. It's a revelation. It's a revelation that this body is the temple of the living God, and God is spirit. The body is spiritual, governed by spiritual law. Any mortal or material concept about the body dies the moment you know that this body is the temple of the living God. Ageless, timeless, diseaseless. God is the central theme of my being. God is the central theme of my body. I do not live by bread alone. Every word of God's truth that comes through my consciousness is bread, wine, water and meat for my soul, my spirit, my being, and my body. Every word of truth that I permit to fill my consciousness is the meat the world knows not of. Every word of truth I maintain in consciousness is a wellspring of water springing up into life everlasting. When I am empty of the Word of God, I am empty of sustenance. I may be filling my body with material meat and bread, stuffing it with sawdust. Because the finest food ever sent into the system of man is nothing but a bulk. Unless the Word of God accompanies it to act as a law of digestion and elimination. The Word of God in the midst of me is mighty, breaking down every, tearing down every stronghold of material, mortal, mental belief, concept, revealing in its place the perfect temple of God, my eternal body, a body not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Will this destroy my material body? I haven't got a material body. The Word of God reveals that Spirit is infinite, and Spirit is all, and Spirit is the substance of the universe, and so this truth destroys my mortal or material concept of body, and leaves me living, moving, and having my being in a spiritual temple not made with hands, eternal temple. If you destroy this temple, I will raise it up in 3 days. Why? The temple can't be destroyed. Only a material concept of temple can be destroyed, and if you do that, I'll reveal the perfect spiritual temple within 3 days. God is life. If I look to man for life, I'll find death. But when I look to God for life, I find immortality. God is substance and strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If I look to my body for health or strength, I'll find disease and death and weakness. But if I agree that Christ is my strength, my divine sonship is my strength, the Word of God in the midst of me is my strength, my youth, my vitality, my being, my all in all, my intelligence, my wisdom, my inspiration, Christ is the light. If I look to my brain for wisdom, I will find insanity. When I understand that I can know all things through Christ, which is my wisdom. The Son of God in me is my wisdom. The Word of God in me is bread, wine, water. The world knoweth it not, because I keep it secretly hidden within me, and if I revealed it, they wouldn't understand it. I have meat the world knows not of. I have substance, supply. Purely spiritual. It's the Word of God in the midst of me. God. God is my immortality.